19. 1 Samuel chapter 19 is where we're going to start off this morning. We're talking about the friendship between David and Jonathan. Now, this was a very wonderful friendship. It was a very model friendship. And in this, we kind of bounce back and forth between you yourself being a good friend and the good friend that Jesus Christ is to us. There's a lot to kind of be plumbed out of this friendship. We talked last week in this, what was that point? Let me get over that. I feel like I belabored it. But Jonathan's generosity. We see that Jonathan, looking at this poor shepherd boy, gave him his clothing, gave him his bow, gave him all this stuff. And we see how Saul, pre his anger at David, gave him a place in the house, wouldn't let him go home, gave him just kind of a place at the table. And I'll tell you what, it is a wonderful thing when families open themselves up like that, where your children are at my table, my children are at your table, I'm over there, you're over here, to where it just kind of seems like in a church where everybody's just one big family. To me, that's a beautiful thing, where everyone is together. Next we want to see here is that he gave his time. 1 Samuel 19 and verse 1 says, "And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul my father seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee. And what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good." Now, and that's a good friend, isn't it? Right? That's a specific amount of time. Normally when I think about the time that we would share together, you know, Danielle has a friend. And she went yesterday and she wanted to spend all day out with her friend. And that's terrifying to me, JP. That's terrifying to me. Because you know what that means? Me solo with the kids. Now listen, I pride myself. I take care of my kids. I change the diapers too. I do the laundry. I do the washing of the... I can do those things. I am not intimidated for a very short period of time. She was gone all day, brother. She was all day just gone. And those kids, they started to get energetic and they started bouncing around the house and they played out. I let them play outside and I had the baby, and you really can't have the baby outside for too long. So I'm just kind of watching them out and I'm holding the baby and we're doing our thing. And I look out and there's Xander on top of Caspian just pummeling him on that trampoline chest. Don't tell him I told this story. He feels so bad. So I brought him and I set him down. Well, what were you doing? We were wrestling. Caspian goes, no. Well, Xander, did you ask him if he wanted to wrestle? Yeah. Caspian, no. But they wanted to spend time together. It doesn't matter what it cost poor dad. This is my punishment. I'm a firm believer in spankings. I will still get, one of them's old enough for the belt now, brother. I am still a big fan of spankings, but sometimes, you know, that doesn't work. You got to work right here with them, right? You got to mess with them. I made him sit in time out for an hour. You're like, ooh, that's harsh. I'll tell you, I did one more. We watched documentaries on food. Right? That was his punishment. He had to sit there the whole time while I'm watching a documentary on honey. It was just... I got, but she wanted to spend... Oh, she's back. Hey, hon. Maybe we just want to spend time. And we think about the time we want to spend with our friends. Typically, that's it. We're out. We're doing this. We're doing that. We're having time. But you know what? There's another way to spend time for your friends. Jonathan took his time to work out this issue between his father and his friend. Can I ask you this? How much time do you spend for your friends that have nothing to do with a barbecue grill or a cup of coffee or anything? How often do you go to the bat before the Lord for their needs and their concerns? How often you sit there and say, hey, listen, you're having this problem. I'm going to come on over and do that. It absolutely did wonderful things to my heart when in our need to move, we had so many different people show up to either the house up here or the house down there and just made quick work of everything. I even had one friend, he spent the night with me there in the house, just moving stuff around, getting things ready for the next day when another truckload would go down. We'd fill the truck and then bring the truck in. Just, we think, hey, you have a problem. Let me give you my time. Well, many are willing to give their resources. Here's some money. I like this one. Positive thoughts coming your way. You ever see that? Sending you positive thoughts. How can you send positive thoughts, Sister Glenn? I don't know how you do that. Right? But that's, that help you out? I don't know. But just the shallowness of what we give sometimes when what's really needed is some time. Oftentimes being a true friend entails carving time out of our schedules to help someone else. In this passage, we see that Jonathan is willing to break away from his own schedule, his own desires, and his own wants in order to help out his friend in a way that would be much more uncomfortable than just giving up some things, right? I'll go talk to my dad and see about this whole him having a temper towards you thing. The mother of an energetic preschooler wearied over her daughter's constant requests to sit and read together. You guys ever do that with your kids? One more story! One more story! Okay, one more and I'll go to bed. All right, you read that one more story. Can I have a drink of water? Okay, you can have a drink of water. All right, one more story, right? She's kind of in that loop. One morning she had the great idea to purchase a digital recorder. And my mom did this. My mom had to work nights when I was a kid. So she went from reading to me every night to not being able to be there. But this mother here, she read into the recorder. And she goes, all right, sweetie, all you've got to do is put the right tape in, hit play. And it'll read to you the story. And you just have the book open and you turn the page when mommy says to turn the page. And there you go. And the daughter looked at it. And mom goes, what do you think? Do you like it? She goes, no, it doesn't have a lap. And you think about, well, that's a sad word, yeah, but you think about that. You know what a child really wants from their parents isn't the story. Do you think, I've picked that up. They don't care about the book. They don't. They don't care which book it is. That's why they're like, this one. They don't think about it. They weren't like thinking about it all day. I want to hear the one about the rabbit today. This one. They want time. As adults, that desire does not change. We require time with each other. And not just time with each other, we require time with the Lord. Jesus illustrated the same type of friendship with his disciples. When we observe the ministry of Jesus, we don't see him giving money to his disciples and his many followers. Instead, we see him giving his time. He spent time teaching, healing, mentoring, and even washing their feet. While we often make excuses for our limited resources, we can always give of our time to show our love and friendship to those around us. Again, it doesn't often take a large amount of time. Most of the things we can do to light up a person's world takes a few moments at best. We see also that he gave his influence. Join me in chapter 19, verse 4. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. And he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore, when wilt thou sin against innocent blood, to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. Besides giving his time, we see that Jonathan was willing to act as an intermediary, giving David his influence. He spoke up on behalf of David. Saul wasn't getting anywhere trying to kill David himself or get him killed in battle. So now he tried to enlist hitmen, and once again, God worked things out to protect David. I remember when I was just leaving high school, and I was doing that dance you do between going somewhere to college, coming back, and getting another job. And I had a great job that I always liked working at the sub shop. And it was a lady at church who kind of called me one day. She goes, "Hey, listen, I'm hiring over here. I know you make this much, but we're going to offer you this much to come. And I think that'll be good for you to help pay for school." And I said, "Yes." Now, listen, she didn't have to make that phone call. She didn't have to care, but you know what she had? She had herself in a position to help somebody else out. You know what? And that's what we're talking about here. You know, here's the problem. Allow me to make this offer to you. Allow me to do this for you. Now listen, there does come a point where friends try to become manipulative into other people's situation. That's why it's just like, "Hey, let me do this for you." No? Okay. You know what I'm saying? But be in that, if you're in a position to help, help. Many of us, we have unique little niches in the world, different things that we're able to do or can do or have the opportunity for. And we need to keep that kind of thing open. Make sure that we are serving the Lord through serving others. Just as Jonathan used his influence for David, Christ uses his influence for us. He is still our intermediary today. Jesus pleads to the Father about his own sacrifice and not our merits. Because of Jonathan's influence, Saul forgave David temporarily. Because of Christ's influence, God forgives us eternally. Right? We need to be able to use whatever we have, whether it's money, it's time, it's our influence, whatever we can, to just kind of share that out. All right, number two here in our lesson, Jonathan's consistency. Listen, I'll tell you what, it is easy to have a friend on your birthday, isn't it? Right? You think about that for those of you on social media. Hundreds of people, "Happy birthday!" Man, none of those people call me when it's not my birthday. You have hundreds of friends on your birthday. "Oh, happy birthday!" But what about a Tuesday when you've stubbed your toe and you started making spaghetti and you realize you're out of noodles? Right? What about those days, right? You know, what kind of friend? We need to be consistent friends. Not just there for the moments, not there for the highs or the lows, but there for the in-betweens as well. And to keep our actions consistent. The best way to continue to treat each other consistently is to love each other on the premises of how much God has loved you. That'll keep it consistent. The next thing to do there is to remember God's love for you. It'll make it a whole lot easier to love everybody else. Because you gotta remember who you are and what it would take for the Lord to have forgiven you. And it'll make being there, that consistency, easy. Proverbs 17, verse 17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." See, he was a friend in good circumstances. If we were to travel over to verses 1 through 3, again back in 19, we see that they were good friends. They were loving friends. In previous studies, we see that their souls had knit together. Jonathan was a consistent friend to someone who was enjoying newfound blessings. David was kind of high on the mountain other than this whole, Saul being a cranky person kind of deal. Everything else was going so good, and there was Jonathan to make things even better. A true sign of humility and Christ-like character is applauding others when they succeed. That's not very common anymore. Sometimes you get that jealousy in. I've had moments in my life, and maybe you have too, where the Lord has blessed my life, and somebody said something intensely negative about it. Right? There was a particular time I was able to, shuffled through a half marathon. I was exercising, I was losing weight. Somebody sat there and they just kind of looked over and said, "Well, you know, that whole exercise and going to the gym thing, that's fake masculinity. It's really not something." I kind of looked at them like, well, I know how much I weigh, and I know if I don't get this thing down, I'm going to die. So that's not fake masculinity. That's being a good steward. But anyway, no matter what's good for you, there's always somebody sitting there and go, well, you know, that's all how you see it, I guess. I guess you're right. It is how you see it. But you know what? We ought to applaud others when they succeed. Ricky Henderson was about to set the record for stolen bases in a single season. At that time, Lou Brock held the record and was following Henderson's baseball career. When Brock knew that Henderson was about to set the record, he said, I'll be there. Do you think I'm going to miss it now? Ricky did in 12 years what took me 19. He's amazing. Brock wasn't bitter or upset that Henderson was beating his record, but instead was ready to cheer him on. Now, you'd think about that. That shouldn't be a thing that I should have to say, but we know that. Hey, the Lord's blessing somebody's life or something. Yeah, I would say probably a baseball thing is probably more one of the more superficial things, but it doesn't matter. Hey, something great's happening to somebody. I shouldn't have to say that we need to cheer them on, but in the world we live in today of jealousy and self-centeredness, you do kind of have to bring it up. Right? You hear about a friend who started a business. Well, you know what? Most businesses fail. Thanks. Right? I'll do that. I'll be sitting there. I'll be working with the kids. I'll be doing something. Somebody comes by and they'll just say, you know what? You don't have this time for long. I'm like, well, it's like, well, thanks. You know, it's like it'll be a birthday or something for one of the kids. You know, just, you know, I remember when my kids were that age, I blinked and they were grown up. I almost kind of want to look at me like, you know what, I remember when my great-grandma was your age. I blinked and she was gone. It's just, that's how I feel about it. Like, listen, I want my kids to grow. I want them to hit an age and get married. I want to be there the day they're saved. I want them to have kids. I want all that. I just want to enjoy what I have now. Right now, I look at my little baby girl, and she smiles at me. Oh, she's doing it now. She just melts my entire heart. I know eventually she's going to grow up. Stop reminding me. You know, I want to enjoy these moments when I'm sitting there with my kids, and they still want to spend an entire day putting together something Lego with me. Yeah, I still want, I long for those, like I love these days where they'll come up and they'll just do one little different thing with something they're working on. Look, Dad, look! And I can't tell you what they did, but I'm so glad they want me to be a part of it. Maybe not the 15th or 16th time in the next, within the 5 minutes, but you get the point. We ought not rain on each other's parade. It's almost like as soon as we find some water, there's someone there to sneeze in it. Let's relax and enjoy each other's successes. If you win, I win, right? If you do something amazing, I get to celebrate that with you. Because that's what family is. The true character of a true friend is consistent in good times. It doesn't go away because of jealousy. It doesn't go away because of bitterness, right? If you do well, it doesn't matter what I'm struggling with, that lifts me up. I want to hear it, right? It was like I was saying, I can't remember when I said it, but I want to hear good news, right? Now listen, if you need me at 2 a.m., if something bad happens at 2 a.m., you give me a call. And same way, if something good happens, wait until 8 o'clock in the morning and give me a call. I want to hear it. We see also he was a friend in bad circumstances. In 1 Samuel 20, verses 1 through 42, a whole big stretch there, we find out that Jonathan was not a fair-weather friend. When David entered a time of trial and duress under the attacks of the king, Jonathan was there as a supporting friend and as a warning friend as well. Hey, listen, David, you know this is what's happening over here. I want you to be aware of that. That's hard, isn't it? Jonathan had to kind of pick a side. And if you really look at how he did it, I think Jonathan played both sides very fairly and very godly. He gave honor and respect to his father and honor and respect to his friend. Never once deceiving one or the other. Just, hey, Dad, what do you think about him? Now, don't forget, Dad, that you know he slayed Goliath. And remember, Dad, you were excited about this when it happened. Remember that? Yeah, see, all right, well, thank you for making that promise. Hey, David, guess what? This is what's happening. See, a good friend not only just gets into this situation, but gives God-honoring advice through the situation. I've heard some bad advice, haven't you? Some friends that come in, I think about Job and his friends. to the point where God intercedes and goes, I'm not even going to talk to you guys. Job, listen. You know, we want to be good friends who give godly advice, who are there for support. I've been there with folks where it wasn't just my lack of understanding. Sometimes there's no words for a certain situation. So you know what you do? You sit there quietly. I had a friend ask, hey, listen, somebody's going through this right now. What do I say to him? I go, you can say anything you want because nothing you say is going to change that. You need to be there with them. You need to pray with them. You need to share some scripture with them. But ultimately, you just need to be in the room. Right? Listen, we need to be a friend during the bad circumstances as much as we are the good ones. When David asked, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy Father? He asked a very sensible set of questions there. We have to realize that David was really in the dark as to everything going on there. You ever been there? Brother Dennis. He was telling a story about work, right? I show up on time. I do my work right. I do everything I can to bring honor and glory to the Lord through this job, which is improving this, and that. What am I doing wrong? I am following every policy. I'm doing, in David's case, I'm fighting anybody you ask. I killed the giant. I stood up when nobody else would. I didn't even ding your armor. I had you keep it. I did everything right. Why is Saul angry at me? I think of how sad that is. You ever been in that position where it just doesn't matter, somebody's bad heart is just going to sit there and try to ruin the whole thing. But during this dark hour, Jonathan told David that whatever David needed him to do, he could count on him to do it. All right, that's 1 Samuel chapter 20. See, this is the attitude of a true friend. To how many of your friends could you honestly say something like that? Whatever your need is, I've got it. Now listen, that point right there wasn't about millions of dollars. It wasn't about here, have my car or my whatever. It was very simple, very succinct. I'm going to be your friend through this thing. Here's some signs of a good friend. They would not ask you to do anything that is wrong. I remember that. Well, you know what? If you want to keep this relationship, you want to keep this friendship, you're going to have to come down on some of your... and some of those convictions you have. No. That's not a good friend. They would not ask for impossibilities. You would be willing to suffer any inconvenience for the sake of them. Somebody asked me, we were talking about Sister Hall. She had passed away. And she meant so much to my wife and I. Such a grand encouragement. So we couldn't go to the funeral, so we drove down for the viewing and just went in early. You know, before a lot of people showed up, paid our respects to the family and left. And somebody said, well, you drove all that way for just a few moments? I said, for Sister Hall, I would drive all the way to California with Joel Olstein on the radio, right? I would watch an entire episode of The View for Sister Hall. I would. But she was a true friend, so she'd never ask that of me. No, listen, there's no mild inconvenience. There's no large inconvenience among good friends. You would do whatever is necessary to keep your promises to them, as long as those promises are God-honoring, of course. Well, I promised I would do this. Yeah, but what you promised to do is, I said, yeah, but it was a promise. You can't honor God that way, that we would keep our God-honoring promises. So David and Jonathan set up a plan to find out the heart of King Saul. Saul was so upset at David's absence the second day of the feast. This is chapter 20, by the way. He was so upset about his disappearance and his anger got all turned up. But Jonathan stayed true regardless of the heat of the situation. Right? I've seen people, they go through hard times and you want to be there for them. And then you see people where the heat gets turned so high up on them, it kind of makes you question whether you want to be anywhere near that situation. A good friend stays in the fire. Right? Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ did with those three Hebrew boys? He went in the fire with them. Now, we need to do that. Now, I'm not saying this, that you expend yourself into a difficult situation. I had a flat tire one day, and I was just, you know, I think we had just gotten married and we were living down in Bulls Harbor. I think it's south of Monroe is where that is. Just kind of a rough situation. Didn't have a lot of money. Had a flat tire. And the police officer pulled up behind me and I said, okay, we'll go to police officer. He'll know what to do. He says, well, where do you live? I live right up over here. All right, drive there. That's not exactly, like, I don't know a lot of things about a lot of things, but I know that you really shouldn't drive on something like this. All right, you'll be drive there. Bad advice. Bad instruction. Bad influence. See, true friendship gets involved in the situation. True friendship rolls up the sleeves. True friendship shows a young man how to change a tire. I knew how to change a tire. I just didn't have a tire, by the way. True friends put themselves in there. See, their problems are your problems. Their need is your need. Jonathan could have said, hey, this is between my father and you. Don't get me involved. Hey, I've got my position. Hey, I've got this. Hey, I've got that. There is no situation that becomes so useless. I want to be careful with that because there's a young person I pray for on a regular basis. He's not as old. He's not as young as he used to be, and he needs to get it together. But I think about some of the things he gets himself into, and I go, you know what? I can't bail you out of this one, right? Everybody be like, hey, I want to, but I can't keep bailing you out if you're going to keep going that direction, right? Think back to that tire. I can't drive on a broken tire. You want to fix the tire, I'm here. You want to change the tire, I'm here. You need to borrow a tool, I'm here. But I'm not going to help you drive down this road with a busted up tire. And I've kind of had that conversation with somebody a couple times where it's just like, you know what? I love you. I want to be there for you, but I cannot pay for your sin. Right? And that's kind of that area. But for most anything else, if you need me at this hour, if you need this, if you need that, I will be there for it. Because true friendship desires God's best. 20 verse 12. Chapter 20 and verse 12. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee and show it thee, the Lord do also and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then will I show it thee and send thee away that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee as he hath been with my father. Now the line for the first thing that I mentioned there, the difference between giving everything I have and knowing when to stop, comes right there, and that is the Lord in the situation, right? I can only be a good friend, a godly friend, because of what God has shown me. And when I lay that aside, I'm no longer going to be a good friend. Jonathan evoked the Lord into this promise, not swearing on God, but brought him in as the third person, as a witness to this conversation, that I am going to help you in how I can. True friendship is a God-honoring thing. Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We have a unique ability to build each other up. We see also true friendship does not end. You know, we think about Sister Hall, you know what, it's not about us having to have said goodbye to her, right? I'm going to see her again. True friendship doesn't stop. We see also this, the true friendship finds a way. In verse 18, Jonathan had to put this promise into practice. And yeah, there's going to be obstacles to true friendship. And there's going to be moments where you don't necessarily want to be their friend. But you know what? You work through it anyway. You know what? I'll sit there. Some of my best friends are the people who irritate me the most. I firmly believe that. Right? Because nobody gets to you like a real friend. Nobody gets to you like a real friend can. You know, a complete stranger, they can do something. I'm like, you know what? That makes me angry, but I'm not going to invest in it. But a true friend, I will invest in that anger. No, I'm kidding. but you understand what I'm saying? There's that closeness that comes. You know what we do? We work through it anyway. I will close with this. There was a there was a guy, and we had gotten into an argument. We weren't getting along. And I don't know why I'm coming down here for Sunday school. But every head bowed, every eye closed. But we weren't getting along. And we kind of had an argument. And then later that day, I thought of something funny. And I called him to tell him something funny. He goes, "Why are you calling me? Aren't you mad at me?" I go, "Yeah, but you're still my friend." "Who else am I going to call with this stuff? You're the only idiot I know who's going to laugh at the stuff I laugh at." Right? We still have those investments in it. Because you know what? You know, I think about arguments between the spouses, right? I don't know if I told the story. Our first argument that we had as a married couple, she told me to go sleep out on the couch. I thought, well, that's not right. So she went out and slept on the couch. And I got confused. I went out and I slept on the couch with her. Why? Because love finds a way. I don't know if that worked or not. Don't try that. But love finds a way. You know, well, they're really being difficult. Love finds a way. You know what? All it takes is for one of you to calm down. It's really all it takes sometimes is for one person to get their head back together and say, "Hey, listen, you know what? I apologize for what I did, and I understand that you're angry at me, and I'm sorry for it, and I'm willing to make this right. I hope you are too." Oh, all right. That's really all it takes sometimes. Real friendship gives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we dismiss from the